I love it when I have people come and visit me in the studio because normally it's just me talking to me and it's just me. So this is nice. And I've got two beautiful humans. Most of the Northern Territory would be familiar with you guys. We've got Jess Smith and Amanda Pernicelli with us this morning. Thank you so much for coming in. I've shared on our Facebook page the video that you girls created recently. You've been asked to be ambassadors with the Cancer Council, which is an incredible honour, and we're all very proud to have you, representing the Northern Territory. But it's a bit bittersweet, isn't it? Because I guess you wish you were never asked.
No, well, I think it's sort of, that's the thing. It's we're trying to make something good out of something not so good. And that's what's important to do here. And that's what, I guess, you know, we're trying to be as resilient as possible and make Mum proud. And I think, you know, that's definitely where it starts. Well, what can we do to help everyone else? Because it makes you feel better. There's nothing better feeling than
purpose.
Purpose
is important. So for those people who are listening now that didn't have the incredible pleasure of spending time with your gorgeous mum, can we start by talking about her, not talking about cancer, not talking about diagnosis, but talking about her as a woman?
Yes, okay. Look, she was incredible. You met her, Mel. You know Mum. She, I've had a few people come up to me recently and just sort of say, wow, you definitely remember that woman as soon as you meet her. And that was when she was alive and well. People were saying that about her. She was the most warm, welcoming person. You know, she just, she treated everyone like family. If she met you, she would have invited you to our house for Christmas. She did that with everybody.
Boy, it was birthday party.
It was an open house.
She basically, Mum, who's this person? Oh, I met her last weekend. She's lovely. She's now part of the family.
She basically just wants everybody to feel loved, and that's just how she was. So big hole now with her gone, but you know, when people say that she's alive inside of Jess and I, we sort of, that's the best compliment anyone can give us.
And I love the fact social media, I think, is a double-edged sword. We can put stuff on there that we wish we never did, and then we get those memories that remind us just how wanky we were. But we also get these memories that pop up of things that we've posted from a time of love. And I love watching your social media. I love watching the photos that come up of you and your beautiful mum on fishing trips and dancing and just being so involved and in love with each other, that those memories that pop up when you share them make all of us feel just that little bit more okay.
That's
very sweet.
I would encourage you to keep doing that.
Sure.
So then there came a time of diagnosis. So what happened there?
So basically, Mum felt really flu-y one day. She said flu-y because she felt achy. She couldn't lift her head off the pillow very easily. And, straight to the doctors. Basically, it was September 5th, 2 years ago. And basically, they did a head scan because of how dizzy she was and found quite a large tumour in her brain. So that day was just, well, definitely one of the most awful days of our lives. We had the neurologist that was only new to Darwin talk to us and talking about, you know, drilling into her skull and doing all of these really scary things. We didn't have a second to really process it.
And it was, I guess it was them not knowing, you know, they were like, it could be spread, it could be from something else. It could be primary brain tumour or it could be secondary, which means that it's terminal. So it was just like, overwhelming with news. But when they found, obviously, the brain tumour, they said, we can't let you leave until this is out of your head. Like, they showed us the imaging, obviously, which it was ginormous.
That's it.
Isn't it overwhelming to think that something of that size, that magnitude, can be there and fit?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And and how long was it there for?
You know, did they have an idea of how long?
No, not really. They said it could have been months, but then, or it was probably months, but then when they cut it out and another one grew so very quickly back, they said, wow, it could have been weeks, you know, like Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm, yeah, that's right. I think it definitely changed our lives that day. And even though with what Jess and I are doing now, you know, for the Cancer Council, it isn't even the same cancer. Obviously, brain tumours and stuff like that. A lot of mum's sickness was lifestyle as well. She had lung cancer, small cell carcinoma, which is usually due to smoking. But she did have breast cancer first at my age at 31, and then she had it again at 44.
Yeah.
And just before she passed, her oncologist just kept saying, you need to get this gene test, you need to get it done. And we'd heard it from GPs through our life, really, saying, is there cancer in your family? And we said, yes.
But no one really, it didn't really hit us. You kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, one day.
We're young, we're healthy, yeah. We're okay.
That's it, until you're not.
Mm. And the oncologist made such a big deal. He was like, you know, Yanya, have you done this test? You need to do this test for your daughter's sake, if anything, you know. So she finally
did the test?
She did.
Yeah, and she was a BRCA1 gene carrier. So that made Jess and I go get tested as well straight away. And that's when we found out just last week that we are both carriers. So we had the genetics counsellor sort of get really emotional and telling us, because she was quite invested in our story. She'd met Mum and, you know,
watched Mum and us. Yeah. And
gone. She didn't want to tell us that news, basically. So now it just means that Jess and I have to be really vigilant and staying on top of it, getting tests every year, probably MRIs. Mm. But ovarian cancer is quite hard to detect in early stages, so even an MRI may miss it. So
when we talk about that gene, for people that don't understand what it is, I guess for most people, the BRCA gene, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. Sure.
That's what you think of.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that media sort of side of it. But what are the realities of being diagnosed as having that gene?
Sure. So it's it's different in a few different places, the fact sheets, but
I guess the genetics counsellor, the paperwork that she gave us, pretty much, it's a 74% chance of getting breast cancer in our life from the age of 30. So, yeah, it's pretty scary.
It's a big
and
number.
With ovarian cancer, it was 45%.
Okay.
A little later in
scary,
life, but both very scary numbers.
Yeah, that's it. So it's something that we've got to keep on top of. A lot of women, like Angelina Jolie, chose to get a double mastectomy. I'm not too sure if she had her ovaries removed, but it's something that, you know, after Jess and I have babies, which we want to do one day, is to really look at probably removing our ovaries so we don't have to watch our family go through what we and so many people probably listening have, and that's, you know, someone slowly losing their independence that you love so much. So anything to avoid that, we will do.
So what's next? You know, because this is the thing. You've been on this amazing juggernaut of just trauma and loss, and now you are having to face a diagnosis that is huge and terrifying.
Mm, yeah.
What do you do next to make that okay inside of yourself?
Well, I was going to say, I can say that I actually went to my GP yesterday and I have referrals for a MRI and an ultrasound.
Brave.
So I think, you know, after discussing with the GP, she just said, yep, let's have a breast MRI straight away. We'll do an ultrasound is the best way to check your ovaries. And basically said, look, hopefully all is well and we'll be in touch next year.
Yeah.
So
I'm doing that today, I swear. I'm going today to get my referral.
Did you just say we'll be in touch next year?
Yeah. So unless anything, well, obviously I will still have checkups.
Right. You'll find out. Right.
But what I meant is she will, you know, the GP's office will contact us.
Yes.
At least once a year to say, have that test.
Yeah.
Or those tests. Obviously, in the interim, if anything pops up, we go straight away and get it checked. But
are those tests covered by Medicare? Are they paid for?
Apparently not. Apparently
marvellous.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
Great.
So
yeah, it's a couple hundred, I think, for an
MRI. Breast MRI is apparently $600.
Okay.
Each time.
Yeah. So this is another way, or this is something, hopefully, if we've got any politicians listening right now, this is something that needs to be subsidised and needs to be covered. This is life-saving stuff. This isn't Viagra.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
You know, like, honestly.
But that is important to some people, Mel.
let's not downplay the use of Viagra. But, you know, there are things that are subsidised that, yes, they improve our lives, but there are some things that need to be subsidised because they're saving our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's so very important.
Well, this is crappy enough, isn't it? To dig deep in our pockets and have to shout out over $600 every year. So, but obviously our life is worth that.
Yeah. So we will pay, of course. Afford, right?
Yeah. But it does feel like, you know, our money should be going somewhere better. Yeah. Stuff like this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like I think we both have top, you know, hospital cover
we
and
do,
stuff.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I'm not sure, like the GP wasn't sure if or if any dollar amount you get back potentially, but yeah, I guess I'll let you know when I get that test.
Bash that healthcare card like a pinata.
Yeah.
Just whack it till all the money comes flying out.
That's it.
Because you need it. You need it. So you've had that test, organised that stuff to go forward. You're going to organise it.
I'm organising it this week. I've got an appointment with my GP. Yeah, Jess and I kind of want to do all of this together, like the whole journey.
So we'll see if we can get our back-to-back scans and go with each other, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Just sort of, you know, we still laugh and we have fun and it's not all doom and gloom. We kind of feel like we do have one up when we can get tested like this and stay on top of it. And some people are like, oh, so now are you scared for your life? And we're like, well, we've always been. Like, we're not hypochondriacs or anything, but we certainly now need to be more vigilant. And that's just what it is. We're not going to rock back and forth in a dark corner in our room, you know, about this. It's we've got to be stronger than that, like Mum was, and get it done.
Yeah, that's right. Get
just
it done.
Keep on top of it.
And I think that's a really nice legacy coming, you know, from your mum through to both of you, that you still have to live and you have to laugh and you have to have a life full of joy.
Oh,
and
100%.
Not one that's focused on cancer.
Yeah.
Trauma. Yeah. So, you know, otherwise what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point?
And look, even Mum being told she had terminal cancer and was given, you know, a matter of months.
Mm.
And it's like she didn't lay in bed and, you know, like you probably saw, you probably followed her Facebook. Mm. She was out doing lunches and even when she couldn't walk. Come on, girl,
put
me in the wheelchair.
Good and she still did it,
Yeah, she felt nauseous and she had so many issues, but, you know, she still just got up and I'm alive, I'm going to live. So,
It's a really good reminder for all of us, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us, Mel.
I think you're super brave. I know that you probably don't feel brave. You're just doing it. But I think you're super brave. Because, you know, when you're in the middle of it, you're just doing it, man. So,
yeah.
But, you know, and I think the way that you're doing it, the way that you're sharing it, I think you'll actually save lives.
I hope so.
We hope so.
We've definitely educated a few people on that the gene test is actually something that they can do.
Mm.
So we've had a lot of people contact Jess and I since posting that video. How do you do it, where, and all of that sort of thing, because my mum had breast cancer.
Sharing stories.
Nana had ovarian cancer, and it's like, well, we're sick of being defeated by this crap. Like, we need to be on top of it and get it in early.
Yeah.
It's 21st century.
Knowledge is power, my friend.
Knowledge is power.
So, ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Will all be watching and I guess virtually holding your hands and being there with you.
Thanks,
Mel. Thank you.
All the best, and we'll catch up soon.
Thanks.
Thank you.